turn to the book of Matthew, the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew. We're going to use as our text this morning a very familiar portion of Scripture. As I said, we're going to preach a message on what the church should be. If you'll stand, this is the 16th chapter of Matthew. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. We're going to start reading in verse number 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Let us pray. Father, again thanking you for your wonderful grace. Once again, Lord, we need you. We need your power. Lord, we need your wisdom. We just need you, God, to glorify yourself this day through this message. Help this preacher. I need you, Father, and I need everything from you. And I pray this morning, thanking you, God, for getting the young people and their chaperones back here safely. Thank you for the work that they did while they was out there. Father, thank you for children's churches right now going on. Thank you for them, and you use them. Now help us in this auditorium, God, to honor you. Help this preacher, Lord, to say the right things he ought to say. Use the wisdom he ought to use. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I thought maybe I should share something with you. Last Wednesday night, you remember I announced to you we was going to have a funeral of a little baby, a stillborn baby, on Friday. And so we gathered out at the funeral home, at the graveyard site out there around it, and just a little old casket, you know how they are. Don't take a very big one, and it was sitting there. Anyway, what I wanted to report to you is the night before, on a Thursday night, Brother Bo Ackleman had led the mother of this little baby to the Lord. And her name was Jennifer, and she'd gotten saved. Came out to the funeral home, and it was, I don't know how many was there, 15, 20, I don't know, somewhere in there, people was there. But anyway, at the funeral, standing around the graveside, five more folk trusted Jesus as their personal Savior. And I was thinking about the wonder of it all. And I sat there, and I was amazed. No, not in all that, in my God. Amen. What God does is amazing. At the death of this little baby, sweet little baby, I got to see a picture of her, and it was sweet of him, and it was sweet. But I thought how good God is. He uses even something that seems tragic like that to us, to bring forth others into His kingdom. And I was so thankful and so grateful, and our hearts go out to that family. But isn't God good? You imagine that. I really think there was seven altogether, but I'm going to say six because I was a little unsure whether this one indicated they accepted Christ or not. But we know for sure altogether six people come to know Christ. I think that's wonderful. I tell you, folks, don't ever get over the amazement of God, how good He is and what He does. Amen. It's amazing just to be a part of it. Just to be a part, just to watch it, just to see God move is amazing. I don't know how Bo felt, but when I stood there to preach, I just felt like God was just there. And I know He was, and He just was there. And He was working on hearts, and He's the only one can do that. See, this preacher can't work on hearts, but God can. That's why I want Him to work on your heart. This old preacher, not good at working on hearts, but God is. And I can bring forth what He tells me to preach, and if you let Him, He'll do some marvelous things. Amen. Yes, He will. God's good. All right. Matthew's 16 chapters, I said I'm going to preach a message on what the church should be. And as you read down through here, that portion of scripture, you're familiar with it. It's Jesus saying, upon this rock I will build my church. And what he basically was talking about, a statement that Peter had made, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what he's going to build his church on, because he is the Christ. He is the very foundation. Any church that's going to be anything for God must have as its foundation Jesus Christ. As the Christ, he's the anointed one of God, sent by God to do the work that needed to be done, to die on that old rugged cross, and there be buried and raised again, so that we could have eternal life. Remember something. He is the foundation of the church. And without him being the foundation, we have nothing. We have nothing but sifting sand. But Jesus Christ, and that's who he is. He is the Christ, the anointed of God that God sent. And he is the foundation of the church. You say that's elementary. It's elementary, but it's good preaching. It's what we must always be reminded of. Any church that doesn't have as its foundation Jesus Christ is a false church. And will do nothing whatsoever for God. So we must remember that. We must always remember every church must have as its foundation Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And you remember, you yourself individually must have as your foundation Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's where your faith, your hope, your trust lives. Amen? That's where it is. So Jesus must be the foundation. Not only that, the blood of Jesus Christ is the atoning price that was paid for the church. This is important. You didn't get saved by some works or precious gifts from someplace else. It was the precious blood of Jesus Christ that washed away your sin. If you're not washed in the blood of Jesus, you're not washed. It's the blood of Christ. And the Bible says, for as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. No, he says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's what it is. You remember something. Jesus is the foundation of any church that's doing anything for God. And it's the blood that washes away sin. Baptismal waters don't wash away sin. Thank God for baptism. Many people's been baptized. I was baptized twice. The first one didn't mean a hoot. I was baptized the second time when I realized I was truly saved and understood where my faith was, and I got baptized to show forth that, but it didn't wash one sin away. They've already been washed away in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So let me say to you that the church, its foundation is Christ, and the blood-washed sinner has to be washed in the blood, or he cannot become a part of that wonderful body of Christ. Amen? And remember that. That's the way you got saved. You didn't get saved by baptism. You get saved by church membership. You didn't get saved by being good. You didn't get saved by doing anything. It's the blood of Christ that washes away our sin. I want you to turn with me over to the book of 1 Corinthians, please. The 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Read a few verses there. I want to also share with you, any church that's doing what it should be, and it really can be called a church of the living God, the Holy Spirit of God must be the administrator of that church. I want to show you in chapter 12, 1 Corinthians, let me read a few verses. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as we were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, what? But the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. I could read on down. Well, let me read verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. And we could go on and on. I want you to look at verse number 18, what it says there. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as he has pleased him. I want you to know something. The Holy Spirit of God is the one that gives each one of us gifts. I don't know what your gift is, but if you're saved and born again, you have a gift. And you may have more than one gift, but you have a gift. You have something that God has given you specifically as a gift to be used by the Holy Spirit of God for his work. We need to get a hold of that thing and realize that God is the one that places individuals in churches. God placed you here for a reason, for a purpose, to do the work of God. God did that. And the Holy Spirit of God gave you a gift to be used for the glory of God. And if we will just yield ourselves to the glory of God and for that which God has for us, this church congregation can do mighty and wonderful things for the glory of God. See, you got to be careful about just withdrawing yourself from the work of God. God has a purpose for you. God has a ministry for you, a reason for you being. And it's the Holy Spirit that's given you the gift, and Holy Spirit that has placed you in your place. You see, it's just not like moving from one house to another. You've got a place. You've got a gift that God has given you. And you are to use that gift for the glory of God. Amen? And that's God that does that. The Holy Spirit of God that gives you that gift. Holy Spirit of God that places you wherever it is that God wants you to be placed. Not only that, as we know, and I want you to turn over to the book of Ephesians. You get your Bibles going here with me. I'm going to show you some scriptures. We can do this quickly, probably won't, but we could. Ephesians 1, verse 22 and verse 23. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. I want you to know that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. You see, the head is where the brains is. He's got the brains. We're just the body. We just follow orders. Amen? Now, I know that's probably not a good illustration, but he's the head. He's the one that controls. He's the one that leads. Amen? And he's got a plan on how the church runs. He's got it here in his book. Exactly the way he wants it run. He's already pinned it down. He's got it down in his word, how the local church is supposed to be run and take place. You see, God knows what he's doing. But you remember something. Jesus is the head. Look at chapter 5, verse 23. He says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. There's no doubt in Scripture that Jesus must be the head of the church. Amen. Any church where Jesus is not the head of it is not a church. It's not the right kind of church. Let's put it that way. So remember, Jesus must be the head. He has his plan. He has it all laid out on how he does it. But he is the head. Our whole purpose here is to glorify him and love him and walk with him and serve him and honor him and lift his name up above all other names. For he is the head of the church. Not only that, if you look in Ephesians, the 5th chapter also, let me read to you verse number 1. He says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Did you notice he says, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us? Let me say that the very motive of the church ought to be love for one another, ought to be love for lost souls. The Bible says that Jesus loved us and we're to love. This is one of the great tragedies in Christianity today. There's not a whole lot of love between the brethren. Not near what they ought to be. Ought to be a love between the brethren. Ought to be a love and a care and a concern for the brethren. Amen. Because Jesus loved us. We ought to also love the brethren. Amen. So the whole motive, why? Because of the love of God. Because Jesus loved, we ought to also love. Amen. There's souls out there going to hell. Should not we love them? Should not we care about them? Should not we take time to go out to a little old graveyard and preach the word to them so they'll get saved? Should we not take time to go down to a home and open the Bible and open up the Bible and say, here's how you get saved? Shouldn't there not be that kind of love? You see, that's the whole motive, you see, of the church. It's because Jesus loved us, we ought also to love others, you see. I want you to go to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, please. The 5th or 12th chapter of the book of Acts. I'm going to go ahead and read the first five verses. But now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of the unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him into four quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Now look at verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. I want you to know that prayer is the very life of the church. Folks, listen, I'm being more convinced of this every day that I live. If we don't get back to praying, I'm talking about getting a hold of God. We talked some about this in our Sunday school lesson this morning. Now, if you wasn't in that, you need to get it and listen to it. You just need to hear it. And what we, God is telling us is we got to get back to praying. I'm not just talking about spitting out a few words once in a while. I'm talking about getting a hold of God. You see, what would Peter happen to Peter if he'd got all ready to go to jail, ready to be killed, and the church said, oh, well, forget it. You know, we'll offer up a little prayer for him. No, they prayed without ceasing for Peter, and God opened the doors and let Peter out. Amen? You know all that story. What I'm saying, prayer is the very life of the church. Now, I can't tell you what you do. I don't know what you do. I don't know what you do about praying. But you ought to check out your prayer life. You ought to check out the times that you get alone with God. How often do you really stop and get along with God? I was thinking about this the other day, about our prayer chain. I wonder when the prayer requests come over the telephone, I wonder how many actually take a few minutes and pray. Do we take some time and do we pray about those prayer requests, or we just use it as a session of knowing what's going on? That's not what that's all about. That prayer chain thing is for people to get on their knees or wherever they are. They might be driving down a road. I don't care what they're doing. But to get a hold of God and say, God, we need help here. Just like they did with Peter. Amen. So I'm saying, listen, prayer is the life blood of the church. Amen. We've got to get back to praying. Amen. Now, over in the book of Hebrews, the second chapter of the book of Hebrews. I really believe you could take each one of these things that I want the second chapter. Yeah, I'm saying, and we could just preach a message on them, but I'm intended to do that this morning. I'm just intended to bring to you some things that the church must be. You see, you can preach on prayer. You can spend a lot of time on prayer, folks. We need to get back to prayer. I'm just hitting some bases this morning, trying to get you to understand. We've got to be what the church is supposed to be. And prayer is one of those, you see. But look over in chapter 2, the book of Hebrews, and I'll start reading verse 9. And it says, but we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praises unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, and I, the children which God hath given me. Do you see what was supposed to take place in the midst of the congregation, in the midst of the church? Praise unto God. And I believe with all of my heart that worship of the Lord is a privilege that God has given his church and the people of God. It is a privilege to sing praises unto God. Now, folks, you know, you've heard all the little things. Somebody say, I can't sing. Baloney. Sing from your heart. Sing because you can't help but sing. Amen. You get things right with God, you'll sing no matter how you sound. Amen. I believe with all my heart, sometimes there have been in my Christian life, I've sung because I just sung. I sang, you know. But now most of the time I want to sing because I can't help but sing. It's in my heart. I want to sing praises unto my God. That's the right thing to do. It's through the scriptures, and God talks about this. And so we sing and we worship God. And I believe worshiping of our God is the very privilege of the church. See, folk outside of the church don't know Christ. They can't worship him. They can play at it, but they can't worship him. See, we can. We can sing praises unto him and honor his name, you see. All right. You see, I believe something. I believe the church is responsible. Sometime, we do it once a month, come together and honor God in remembrance of what Jesus Christ did. Some of that is, part of that is singing praises and thanking him and taking time to have the Lord's Supper and all of those things to honor him. You see, why? Because we love him, because he's important to us, and we ought to praise him. We ought to thank him. Amen? You see, that's the church's privilege to do that. And honestly, folks, I mean, I realize people are at all ages. I understand it. I know you got sometimes young people that still need pacifiers. I'm not talking about babies. I'm talking about teenagers. I understand that sometimes. But what I mean, when it gets down to spirituality and really loving God, I don't understand people come into the service and try to disrupt it. No, I don't understand you. I never will understand you. I don't want to understand you. Causes other people. We've had a little problem over in this area over here. Some of our people come and told me. They was kind and gracious. They said, you know, them people, them behind us are just making so much noise that we can't even, and then they want to flip us and hit us and do things and like this, you know, in the church services and disrupt and cause these dear folk here not to be able to listen to the word of God. And what's the matter with people? There's a real bad heart problem. Serious heart problem. Amen. You see, you get back where you realize how important God is, you won't do those kind of things. You love God like you should, you'll sit up and you'll listen to the word of God, and you'll praise God and thank God and sing and do what you ought to do to honor God. That's what you'll do. Amen. And I want to tell you, if you're having trouble sitting by somebody who's causing trouble and you're not a part of that, you're going to get blamed for it. What I'd do is get away from them. I'd get up here on the front seat somewhere where I could give attention, where I wouldn't be bothered by some rascal that wants to call trouble. Wouldn't you do that? Sure, I don't want to sit with someone who's going to get me in trouble. No, I wouldn't do that. Heavens, no. No, I've got more sense than that. Amen. So I think we ought to praise God. Don't you? I think we ought to honor him. The church ought to spend its time honoring God, praising God. Amen. Church services are not time to be talking about other things. Time to hear the word of God preached. See, most people want to do that. That's what they come for. Amen. Sure. Chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12. Even so ye, for as much as, that's in verse 12, chapter 14, 1 Corinthians, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. For the sake of time, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, because we could go to scripture after scripture after scripture. And in fact, let's read verse 19. Yet in the church I'd rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. The whole thing about the church and when it gathers together is for an edification. It's for a building up of God's people. That's what it's all about. Now we know that soul winning is edifying and soul winning. That's what we do. We want to see people saved, but we want to see the Christians edified and build up. Strengthened, not tore down. They want to be built up and edified. Some of that comes through hard preaching, but you get edified through it. It's the way God does it. And I just want to say to you, you come to edify others. Folks, you're not coming here, to promote self. Come here to edify others. Get built up in the Lord and see souls saved. Somebody gets saved and just thrills my heart. Don't that thrill you when people get saved? I mean, honestly, my heart does a flip-flop. It really does. That's wonderful. Well, that's what it's all about. And then to see people edified and build up in the faith. Amen. Strengthened in the faith. Well, that's what it's all about. So that's what the church should be doing. Now, over in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, we probably just came from there, but Ephesians 4th chapter. Show you something else. 4th chapter, verse number 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. See, that's what that's all about. Till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. You notice up there, till we all come in unity. I believe something. I believe the responsibility of the church is to work in unity. To work together for the same purpose. What do you want to see done here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? You want to see souls saved? I do too. I want to see souls saved. You want to see Christians build up so they'll learn how to walk with God, live for God? I want to see that. We're in unity. That's why we come together to do that, you see, and build each other, one another up and see souls saved and honor God and glorify God. We're in unity about that. We ought to be walking in unity. Now, if you're not in unity, what's the matter? What's your purpose for being here? What is it you want? Amen. I want to see God glorified. And if I had to take a back seat to get that done, it's all right with me. You may not understand that, but it's all right with me. I just want to see God glorified. I want to see Him honored. So we gather together. We ought to come knowing and realizing that we're here for a purpose, to glorify God. And that's, we're going to do everything we can do do that. We're not going to come here with our own little personal vendettas. Come here to honor and glorify God, you see, in unity together. See, another thing, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, the third chapter. I'll read verse 14. These things write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. I want you to know something. The church must always be the pillar and ground of truth. We are given the responsibility to guard that. We absolutely must not let it slip. The doctrines of the Bible, the Word of God, must be kept here, must be taught here and not slip. Make a difference what anybody else says. We must stick with the Bible. God has given us the guard over these truths at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And we must stick with them and never let them slip. Amen. Must preach them from the pulpit. Must preach them and teach them from our Sunday school classes and our children's churches and from our own personal lives. We must always hold truth to the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God. You see, God himself is the center around which the church is being built. It's even called the Church of God. It's called the Church of the Living God. It's called the Church of Jesus Christ the Father, and Jesus Christ the Son. It's the church. It's built around God. It's his church. It doesn't belong to anybody else. It's his. And we must guard that with our lives. I'll show you one more thing. Ephesians, 3rd chapter. Unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. God left the church here that we would show forth that God was wise in establishing the church. God was wise. And he established the church. He left it here on this earth as a testimony to the world around us of the wisdom of God in saving our souls and establishing the work of God. Look at verse 21. He says, now unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Who is to be glorified? You see, the glory of God is the purpose of the church. It's the purpose of your life. It's the purpose of my life. But the glory of God is the purpose of the church. The church must always show forth the glory of the God by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end, God says. Now, I'm simply saying to you folks, we've got to understand something. Everything we do around here, everything we say around here must be for the purpose of glorifying God Almighty. Look at verse 27 of chapter 5. He says, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. My goodness, God's going to present unto him a glorious church without spot or blemish. Amen. You see, and God is the one that must be glorified. God is the one that must receive the glory. I want to encourage you. When you come in those doors back there, I know this is just a building, but it's a meeting house. It's a place where we come and meet. And when you come in those doors and you come in here and you sit down, why don't you have your hearts all ready just to glorify God and say, God, whatever it takes to glorify you in these services, I'm going to be a part of it. I'm not going to be a hindrance. I'm going to be a part of it. I'm going to let you use me to glorify your name because that's the purpose. That's why we're here. Amen. So we need to glorify God. You know, I could just probably just go on some things, but I don't think I need to. I just want to tell you, we want to be a church like God wants his church to be. Now, we're just old frail people and we failing so much, but that don't give us an excuse to continue to fail. We got to find out what we're doing wrong and pick up and do right. Amen. You young people, you adults, all of us, why don't you just check your heart out and see, how do you feel about God? How do you feel about glorifying him this morning? What's more important to you, your little vendetta or your little action or you saying something to somebody else or glorifying God Almighty? Which is it? We come to glorify God. Amen. That's what we come for. That's what it's all for. Amen. So I trust. I believe that's what the church ought to be. Blood bought. Jesus the foundation. Holy Spirit the administrator. Isn't it wonderful? You can't go wrong with that kind of stuff. Amen. So let's just check our hearts. Now I want to tell you something. Not a person in here can go to heaven without being washed in the blood of Jesus. Now, have you been washed in the blood? I'm not talking about joining the church. I'm not talking about even being baptized. I'm not talking about all that stuff. Have you been washed in the blood? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, been born again into God's family? Amen. It's simple, but you have to come to the place where you realize you're nothing. You're just an old sinner. You're a wicked sinner. You need Jesus to forgive you of your sin and wash you and cleanse you and make you whole again. Amen. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Say, Brother Ross, I'm not sure I'm saved this morning. I'm just not sure. If I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned about it. I want you to pray for me. I'm not going to call your name out. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to do anything like that. I'm just going to pray for you. But you indicate by raising your hand that you'd like me to pray for you. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm ready for heaven, but would you pray for me, Pastor Ross? Would you do it? Would you lift your hand, please? Just lift your hand and say, I want you to pray for me. I want you to pray for me. Say, Pastor Ross, I know I'm saved. I know I'm ready for heaven. I know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. But I've got some things I need prayer for. I just need to be right with God. I need to help this church to be a better church than it is and be the kind of person I ought to be so that I can help this church go on for the glory of God. Would you just raise your hand and say, I want you to pray for me. God bless you. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you all over the congregation. Thank you so much. God bless you. Anyone else? All right. Thank you. God bless you. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your grace and mercy and your love for us. And once again, we trust that through this message this morning, you was honored. And we wanted you to be. We wanted you to be lifted up and honored. And Father, we pray that you'll take it and use it to your glory. Should there be anyone here that is unsaved, God, it'd be a great time for them to walk down this aisle and let us take the Bible and show them how to be saved. And Father, there's Christians here today just wanted prayer. I don't know what the need of their life is, but they wanted prayer, and I'm praying for them. I ask you, God, to help them. Just help them, strengthen them, Lord. Do whatever is needful in each life. Help us just be better for you than we've ever been. Maybe some of them may need to walk down the aisle and just get alone up here at an altar of prayer for a while. That'd be good between you and them. But Father, whatever the need is, we ask that you be willing not only to meet it, but Lord, be allowed to meet the need. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.